Feria Internacional del Libro de Coyoacán presenta.
I wanted to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
So I saw myself seeking out new life forms and civilizations, but in different planets just now. I didn't really see myself as being limited to Earth.
Okay.
Basically. So it's been a bit of a disappointment in that way.
Okay.
Crucigrama Filco.
Hola a todos, ¿cómo están? Bienvenidos a Crucigrama Filco, este podcast tan increíble de la Feria Internacional del Libro de Coyoacán. Hoy tenemos a un invitado verdaderamente especial, Irving Welsh, que ustedes por supuesto que lo conocen de la cultura de los noventas. Y welcome, Irving.
Hola, buenas tardes.
Hola, buenas tardes. How do you doing today?
I'm muy bien.
Muy bien. Okay, to open this interview, I want to ask you, what do you enjoy most about writing?
I think the thing I like about it is I can take myself off into another world without leaving the house, you know?
Okay.
So that's quite good, yeah. It gives you a kind of great freedom. You have the freedom of the blank page and you can put anything you like on that. And I think that that kind of freedom has always been something I've aspired to having.
Okay. And what does your writing routine look like?
It changes a lot. I mean, I don't have an average day. Sometimes I'll be up at 6 a.m. and just working hard, do a few hours, then go to the gym or take the afternoon off and go for the cinema or something like that, or see a gallery or a show. Or, sometimes I just work through the night. It depends on the mood I'm in, you know. As I've got older, I've kept more 9 to 5 hours, but usually I used to sort of write during the night a lot when I was younger, but not so much now.
Okay, and when you feel stuck in your writing, how do you feel safe to write?
I never feel stuck. I always feel happy to write. You know, it's just some days are better than others. Some days are slower than others. But sometimes you get more good stuff sorted out on the slow days. So I don't really worry if it's quite slow. I know it's going to come when it comes.
Okay. And in your writing, do you start with a character or with a story first?
I don't know. Sometimes it can be either. It can be either character or story. Sometimes it's neither of the two. Sometimes it's just a theme or a subject I want to write about, and I just write, and then suddenly I start to write it in character, or write it in, or characters come into it, or you know, or a storyline suggests itself. But it can be either of the three, really.
Okay. And here in Filco, the podcast, we like to talk about the creative process of the artist and what you can tell us about your process.
Well, again, I mean, I think that if you do that kind of thing, you don't really like to think about it too much. You like to I certainly like to let the subconscious do all the hard work. You know, I don't really like to think that this is how I do things, because there is no way, you know. I write differently when I'm doing a novel than I do when I'm working on a screenplay.
Yeah.
Or if I'm doing music, it's a whole different thing as well. But it's, you know, the similar things that you have to do, basically, you know.
Yeah. And in this sense, do you listen to music when you're writing a story or not?
Yeah, when the first draft, yeah. I've got to have a lot of noise in the first draft.
Okay.
I like a lot of music, a lot of sound, a lot of chaos around me. I like to write in busy, crowded cafes and all. But the second draft, when I have to make sense of all this stuff, I like to be very quiet. I have to go away into a quiet space.
Okay, and you're a DJ. Okay.
Yes.
And what's your favorite thing about being a DJ?
I think the thing I like about it best is that you get what you don't get with books. You do get on the dance floor. You get an instant reaction because you know if people are liking it or not. Because if they're not, they'll go and sit down. You know,
yeah.
If they are, they get up and dance, basically. So it's you don't know. I mean, if I'm on the tube in London and I see somebody reading my book and you see their face changing and all that, and you kind of, you see them laughing or you see them scowling, you want to know, you want to ask them which part are you reading, you know, you want to get that kind of feedback. But you don't really get it with books. With movies and TV, you do, if you're in an audience watching it, you can sense the energy change when something happens. But with music, you get it instantly. You with dance music, you know straight away.
And that's your favorite kind of music and inspired you to write your novels?
Well, I'm not a musician, so I can't really play anything. I don't have any fretboarding or keyboarding skills.
Okay.
So, it's my favorite. It's not my favorite music to listen to, but it's my favorite music to play. You know, it's my favorite music to experience in a club or a social environment.
And you can recommend us an artist to listen to.
In dance music or in rock and roll or anything? What
yeah, anything. You really like dance music, but.
I think dance music, you dance, you know, you don't really, I mean, I know you can listen to dance music and a lot of it's very involved and clever and a bit like progressive music used to be, progressive rock music, but I prefer to dance to dance music. I prefer 4-4 beats basically and to get up and to feel my feet kind of starting to tap. When I'm listening to music, I listen to all sorts of stuff, you know, I listen to classical music, I listen to country and western, but I always go back to the standards, like the stuff that you grew up with, like David Bowie and Roxy Music and, the Sex Pistols, the Clash,
yeah.
Kind of all the punk rock stuff.
Yeah,
so I mean, that's, you know, what I kind of grew up listening to and what I still like.
And what's your favourite song about David Bowie?
My favourite David Bowie song?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Bowie's just done so many amazing songs and he's done so many. I couldn't even pick my top 10 David Bowie albums, never mind songs. So, yeah.
Okay. And how was it writing Trainspotting on these days, early days?
Well, it was a long time ago. I mean, I was writing bits of it in my work. I had this job that I didn't really like, it didn't really stimulate me, even though it was quite well paid, so I couldn't leave it. I was writing it in my spare time there when I was supposed to be doing my work. My boss would come down into my office, and I would switch over the screen so you could see me looking through all these contracts instead of the pages of Trainspotting, which would have been a bit of a shock for him, I think, if he had seen them. But I just wrote it at work and I wrote bits of it at home in my flat in Leith, and it was fun because I think I was a failed musician basically. I was in bands that weren't very good and I was the weakest link in those bands, I think to find something that you can actually do that's creative,
yeah,
is such a good thing. You know, so I was very excited when I found out that I could write.
Yeah, and did you know it was going to change your life, this novel?
I think everything changes your life. I don't think there's a big kind of, in some ways it's a dramatic change in a lot of ways, but in other ways it's not. In other ways the good thing is it kind of happened when I was 30, so by that age you know what you want. You know what I mean? Roughly, you know what you like and what you don't like. So you just have more of the things that you like and you get rid of the things that you don't like,
yeah.
Basically. But if it happened when I was 20, I probably wouldn't be here now. There's no way I could have survived that level of attention at that age.
Yeah. And you here in Mexico City today, this interview is in Mexico City. And what's your favorite thing about Mexico?
You know what? I just love the way that I've been jumping around on the metro and coming out at different places and just at random, just picking a station because I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go there today. I don't know what the neighborhood's like. And you go out to, when you come out the station, it's a bit like taking a lucky dip in a bag. You know, you could be somewhere that's just full of these kind of really cool bars and really cool sort of spots and all that. And you could be somewhere that's completely desolate and there's nothing around there,
yeah,
but kind of old industrial crumbling places. And so, you know, so you, it's great. It's a great thing to do, you know. So, yeah, I just like to do that at random, yeah.
The random hints in metro of Mexico City.
The metro's great. It's brilliant. Yeah.
And what your favorite kind of food?
Taco de pescado.
Tacos de pescado.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not. I know because we're inland here. It's and we're inland. It's usually more the beef and chicken are usually better than the fish. But
okay.
I stopped eating meat for a year. I'm going to give it another year because I really like red meat. I like steak. I liked it too much. So I just thought I'm going to stop this for a bit. And so I've got really into fish now.
Yeah, and that's why?
I just sort of think, well, I wanted to go complete vegetarian, but I need a bit of protein. So I still eat fish, basically.
Okay, and if you think of Mexico, what kind of words that came from your...
Fantástico.
Fantástico?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I just love it. I mean, I've kind of... I used to live in the United States for 10 years, and I lived in Chicago for a lot of time, mm-hmm. And I had a lot of friends who were Mexicans. I used to go to this boxing club on the west side of Chicago.
Yeah.
And... I had a lot of Mexican pals who were kind of, obviously boxing is a big part of Mexican culture.
Yeah.
And so that was great. And we, you know, and every time, you know, I used to come down here a lot from when I lived there. And, you know, I've always, I mean, I've really kind of vibed on different places. I've been all over Mexico now. And but I really like Mexico City because you've just got everything here, basically.
Yeah. And what's the difference between Mexico City and Edinburgh?
Well, Mexico City is a lot bigger, and it, you know, it goes on and on and on and on. Every time I come here, it seems to have got bigger again, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I think there's some of the same things that, in every city, there's some of the same things that go on. You know, there's a lot of, particularly in the more central areas, you can see there's a bit of gentrification and a lot of people kind of get pushed out of into the margins, which is quite sad in a way because a lot of these communities are established communities. You know, like where I come from myself, in Edinburgh is a bit like that, the neighbourhood that I'm from. It's, you know, that's a worldwide phenomenon. You see that in Barcelona and Naples, and where I live in London is very similar as well.
Yeah, and your favorite city is?
I think they're all brilliant. I mean, I think the thing is you can't really, I think you have to enjoy wherever you are. You have to enjoy the moment and enjoy, you know, you can't, because if you get into that mentality, oh, I don't really like this place, I want to be somewhere else, it's a waste of your time. You know, you have to embrace everywhere that you're in, and if you do that, you get the best out of it. If you get the best out of it, you really have a good time.
What do you enjoy most of traveling around the world?
I think, you know, you get to you just get to meet different people, and you get to, you know, get to know them and their different experiences of life. You get to see different things, obviously, and I like to because when you get, you know, when you get to a certain age, I used to travel all the time on my own. I used to go everywhere and kind of backpack, and I've kind of started, you know, I've taken a bit of time early to come to Mexico City so I could just spend time on my own traveling around, and I started doing that a few years ago again. I started traveling on my own, and I think that it forces you to make contact with strangers in a way that you don't when you're because usually, you know, I'm with my wife, which is brilliant, and or I'm with some friends, which is great as well, But you do, I miss that occasionally just getting out of my own and doing my own thing. So I've tried to start doing that again, you know. And, it's like you have to force yourself sometimes because you get very, the older you get, the more comfortable you get. You think, oh, I just have to, I don't want to go on this bus here and all that. I'd rather have a stretch limousine take me there and all that, you know. But you have to fight against that because you really get the most of a place I don't drive, so I travel by public transit everywhere. So mm-hmm. I feel that I just get so much out of a place because of that.
And as a child, did you ever imagine that your life goes on this way as an adult?
No, I thought it'd be much more exciting than it is. Yeah. I wanted to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
So I saw myself seeking out new life forms and civilizations, but in different planets just now. I didn't really see myself as being limited to Earth.
Okay.
Basically, so it's been a bit of a disappointment that way.
Okay, and how you become a musician?
Well, I'm not a musician. As I said, I'm terrible. I've got no keyboarding or fretboarding skills, but the digital...
But being is kind of musician.
Yeah. The digital age is... Yeah, I mean, well... Some would say, yeah, but the digital age is made it much easier for people like me. You know, it means that I can, yeah. It means that I can, you know, I mean, I remember when I used to DJ on vinyl and I found it very difficult to match the beats. I found it difficult to get the records out of the sleeve, but that's because I was too drunk and drugged at the time, basically. To get the records out of the sleeve and on the turntable was a sort of feat, never mind matching the beats and all that, but it's much easier, you know, and you don't have to carry around big loads of records. You've got it all on a stick.
Yeah,
you just plug it in.
USB.
And then you've got, you know, and the counter tells you the beats per minute, you know, and you even have controllers now. They do it all for you. I can't, you know, I mean, yeah. I've got to, I don't use a controller or a laptop. I've got to have some skill set to try and sort of match the beats with my own ear and my own timing and all that, yeah.
Okay, and what fascinates you most about DJing around the world?
I think the great thing is that music's such a cultural thing, so you can drop a tune in one place and people will go nuts, and then you drop it in another place and everybody's like, time to go to the toilet or time to order a drink, you know, so you never really know how it's going to sort of work out, and that's quite exciting, like, I think.
Yeah. And the urban culture of the city that you've been from inspires you in other way?
Sorry, the
urban culture of the city that...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's... you've got to be inspired by anywhere you are again. You know, it all sort of feeds in. You know, we're sort of... we're all kind of absorbing kind of information and data from the things that are going on around us. And the more things that are going on around us, the more we're absorbing that, you know. If you got something, if you're walking down the road like that with your face stuck to a screen on your iPhone, you're not really absorbing anything. You're just getting your own algorithms back at yourself.
Yeah, you know,
you're getting the worst version of yourself fed back. It's like looking into a cracked mirror. If you're walking down, looking at the street, looking at all the flora and fauna, looking at people passing by, look at what they're doing and what's going on. Yeah. You're getting so much out of life, I think.
Yeah, and finally, you can give us an advice as a creative person.
I think the most important thing years and years ago, I taught at the university in Chicago to get a green card. I used to watch people who wanted to be writers and they would be in the MFA class and some of them would be very quiet and they'd just get there and sit there and type. And other ones were all jumping around, you know. And there was this one guy, a really very talented guy, and he wanted to be a writer and he would go to the pub with them and he would sit on the bar stool and he would talk a great novel or a great screenplay.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you're never going to be a writer because you can't stand still. You can't bear to spend time on your own. You know, you need an audience. You know, so I said to him to get into stand-up comedy or comedy improv or, you know, or acting.
Another kind of art.
Another kind of art form or in a band. you know, do his creativity that way, because writing's a strange thing. You know, you've got to be, you've got to like going out, basically, and meeting people and having fun. And then you've got to be the complete reverse of that. You've got to like spending time on your own, you know. And I love doing both. I love going out and partying, and then I love being off on my own. And not a lot of people like that. They're either one or the other, you know. Yeah, they like to stay indoors and study and work, you know, yeah. Or they like to go out and party. But it's very rare to find somebody who loves to do both. Yeah. And I think good writers are people who like doing both of these things.
Yeah, that's very good advice. Thank you so much for being here
Not
with
at
us
all.
Today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Y muchas gracias a todos ustedes por ver esta entrevista, esta hermosa entrevista del podcast de Crucigrama Filco, de Camino a los Creadores. Recuerden que nuestro querido Irving tiene un libro nuevo que está presentando, Cuchillos Largos, y que no se lo pueden perder. Entonces nos estamos escuchando en el próximo episodio.
Feria Internacional del Libro de Coyoacán presentó
Audio Centro.